Good afternoon. You are joining the second half of We the People Radio. My name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And there you have it. That's all the details that you need to know, except for the website, wethepeopleradio.us. And you know, if that guy who's got the .com had ever let go of it, I'd just buy it, and then we could have a .com like everyone else, huh? Be so much simpler. Anyway, we have really an interesting topic today. I know we've done a bunch of shows here of late on Islam. The last 2 weeks were about really the biography of the prophet, or the notorious prophet, should we say, Muhammad. And so if you wonder how all of this got to the jihad part, you should really read It's All About Muhammad. That's the name of the book. It's All About Muhammad. And once you figure that out, they've been doing this from the very beginning. It's not going to change anytime soon.
No new program.
And our wonderful guests, Lyle Rapaki from, he's got a long, I'm going to read his whole list here. Protective Intelligence and Assessment Specialist, Consultant in Behavioral Analysis and Threat Assessment, Private Sector Intelligence Analysis. He's got a lot of intelligence, huh? He's a PhD, too, so I guess you have to have a lot of intelligence then. U.S. Border Intelligence Group and ASIS International, and I forget what that stands for, ASIS, and the Association for Intelligence Officers. And he works a lot with the law enforcement in Arizona. And then our new good friend Claire Lopez is on her way to look at Mount Rushmore, which will be super fun. She is the Vice President for Research and Analysis at the Center for Security Policy, a Senior Fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, and a member of the Board of Advisors of the Canadian Mackenzie Institute. And she's just been a very busy bee. She was on Ted Cruz's presidential campaign as a National Security Advisor, works with I posted here. I should actually make note during the program. I was typing here. Also added links for you, for those of you who maybe missed the first hour and you go back and you listen. UnderstandingTheThreat.com I've put on there, and all the information here about the Holy Land Foundation and Refugee Resettlement Watch and Representative Scott Perry's pending legislation in the House of Representatives. So I've got those links for you on the site. That is all. Okay.
Good job,
Claire. And that was like fast talking without mumbling. Since I'm old, see, I learned how to enunciate. The nuns were big on that. Enunciating was king. Not anymore. Like, you know, you hear the brruh, 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 you're like, what? I don't know. Old ears can't hear the young thing anymore, I guess. So where do you guys want to go for us this hour? I think we ought to go back a little bit to your email, Lyle. Because while you were trying to get connected on Skype, I read it to people. The scary good evening, Americans. I'm from the Islamic State. And ladies and gentlemen, if you missed that, you should go to the website and read it. It'll curl your hair. But you had told me the other day that not only was this whole thing culled from actual intelligence that has been gathered, but do you want to share with people what happened, you know, a couple days after you released it?
Oh, sure, Aaron.
And if you don't, I'll have to just, you know, sketch around until you finally get sick of it and then you decide to tell everyone.
Like,
for God's sake, she's botching it.
Up there in Northern California, is it all like this?
Guilty.
Well, I need to call a really great sheriff, John Lopey, up there and
tell him
to check it out. John is just a wonderful patriot. Christian and just a great law enforcement man.
He's a good guy. I work with him a lot. Well, yeah. And our sheriff in Shasta County, Tom Basenko, would also be. I mean, those two guys would have you guys out here in a hot minute to do something.
Yeah. Well, I'll call John and see if we can set it up. I actually quote unquote met John, Sheriff Lopey, and had him testify in the Arizona legislature telephonically. But he was sworn in and, you know, all that stuff in a joint legislative hearing several years back. And his testimony was so riveting. And you have to appreciate that was on phone, telephonic. And the hearing room had about 200, 250 people in it. And there was people outside. And what he was discussing was the effects, the reality of Agenda 21 and the draining of the lake up there. by the federal government and doing other ridiculous things to seize back or take back the land from.
Oh, their county is absolutely. Yes, I mean, you just couldn't find another agency to go attack them. They're all used up.
Yeah.
I think I counted one time, it's like 9 of them.
But Sheriff Lopey, excuse me, Sheriff Lopey, just, I've not met him personally. We've exchanged emails, phone calls. I got to tell you, what a wonderful sheriff.
He's a super guy. We've had him on the radio a bunch of times. Tom Vasenko both.
Vasenko is also.
Really good, solid, patriot guys.
Really solid. You're right. Very solid sheriffs. And this is what is really going to become critical, I think, in the next so many months and year, is the sheriff. I'm also a member of Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers, and it is the sheriff that really has the constitutional authority, as Claire stated earlier, to protect and preserve the Constitution in the county. I don't know if most people know this, but the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of that county in which he is elected, and outranks, you can look this up, outranks everyone in that county, including the president, the governor, or whatever. Now, he gets into all sorts of weirdnesses here, and I don't mean to deviate from our show, but the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer and does have final authority in law enforcement matters in the county. And the federal government knows this very well, and this is another reason they're trying to take down lead sheriffs so they can submit them unto the umbrella of the federal government and therefore lose the sovereignty of the sheriff and the county. But that's a separate show.
Well, it is really important when people are, voting doesn't matter. And it's like, okay, that makes me freak out to start with. But the biggest vote, one of the biggest things people cast a ballot for would be their sheriff. And I'm not sure that everybody really appreciates that.
Amen.
So, good for you to bring it up.
To say. Yeah, no. The report that you're referencing, Aaron, I sent out. It was not classified. In fact, I think it's marked. It should be. I don't have it in front of me. But it should be marked open source and non-restricted and training for training purposes. The reason I released it to the public and to schools and businesses and special interests like that is because the jihadis are targeting soft targets in the United States. Soft targets are considered shopping centers, schools, churches, and they intend to bring chaos to those locations because their intent is to not only collapse the United States, but to punish the United States for all of its support against enemies, foreign and domestic, against Islam. So they're attempting to move upon soft targets within our communities and to bring some form of destruction and chaos. That report refers to schools, and what they were doing in that report was absolutely a compilation of known interceptions of emails, other forms of information that shows that they are targeting schools, again, shopping centers and churches, by literally conducting sophisticated surveillance. They will sit outside of a school, a shopping center, a church, or some other form of soft business corporation, and they will literally look at the comings and goings. They'll look at whatever security mechanisms might be in play, if any, and they'll take a look at even if there is security, the timing of the security, the function of the security, et cetera, et cetera. And they pretty well get a good layout of that target, just like any enemy combatant would do, and then they know how to launch an attack or an assault accordingly. 2 days, and I gave that particular report to a large school, a high school of 2,500 students plus staff and teachers. I gave it to the principal, the administration, the assistant principals, because I was talking to them about what is coming and what's already here. 2 days after that report, after I gave them that report, and then I sent it out also, distributed it, I received a report from contacts in New York. And what they had done is they had arrested a woman who they later identified as an Islamic surveillance person, who was doing just that. She was taking surveillance and photos of a school in New York City. New York City has approximately 8,000 cameras positioned in critical locations. And so while they were monitoring, they saw this woman, interestingly enough, in all of her Habib and all of the other gala, and she was outside of a school and she wasn't moving. She was just sitting there taking pictures and writing down things. So they caught her
on
camera.
Not too obvious.
Well, it was kind of bizarre. I mean, she really wasn't trying to be covert in any way.
But she wasn't breaking any laws either.
No, and that's a, you know, Bill, that's a great point. If I forget to, please bring that back up again, because that's a germane point. So they interdicted her. They went and investigated. Now, as I said to the school people, sure, somebody could be across the street. They could be taking pictures. Well, you know, you don't want to go into a lockdown and weird out and all that. But it could have been an alumnus. It could have been somebody who had gone to that school and now they've seen a change. And I appreciate that, but we should be more vigilant. And that's really the key here, because it could be something very innocent as an alumnus, or maybe somebody just interested in the aesthetics of that particular school. It could be. Or it could be more nefarious, as in the case of what happened 2 days later in New York City. And that, and what I'm revealing about the New York City incident is also not classified. I'm not discussing anything in particular about it, but it was not what I'm sharing with you is not classified as open source. And so, again, here we have something that more often than not, Americans are not prepared for psychologically and emotionally, and that is to do this level of combat. And what Claire is talking about and what we teach, Claire, John Gondola, who's a former FBI special agent, and others, is not only the actual philosophies and techniques of Muslim Brotherhood and how they're politically infiltrating, but also the psychology behind all of this. America is not prepared, in my opinion, and Claire will jump in, but in my opinion, we're not prepared psychologically, emotionally, to deal with this level of an assault. We're a free and open society, pretty much trusting people, and we're just not used to looking, literally looking for the nefarious side. And that's what's now becoming very paramount. Again, if you read their documents, if you interview various suspects who are promoting jihad, they will tell you that there is a war. Claire used that term, and she is absolutely correct. There's a war. It's not politically correct to say, but she is correct. There is a war. It has been launched. We are fighting it not very well, and we're losing, in my opinion.
Well, we can't continue to fight the war the way we've been fighting it. I mean, we're not
fighting it. We're not. We're watching it, and we're kind of
we don't want to be labeled haters. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know. And we sit back and let this just operate in our neighborhoods. And I mean, folks, I agree. Folks need to wake up.
When we come back, we need to take a really quick break. But when we come back, let's talk about they weren't doing anything illegal. So when you call, who do you call and what do you say? And we should do a little bit of that so people can be kind of proactive about it, huh? Because at the end of the day, if we talk to you guys for 2 hours and we still don't know what to do, we're idiots. I'd like not to put us in the lose column yet, okay? We'll be right back and we'll get some actual tools for you when we do. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
We can't go on until
but we can. Good one, Bob. Okay, so Lyle, our suspicious minds. What what should we do with that?
Take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
It's true.
I think we have every right to, if you're having children in school, that you go to your school kindly, calmly, cooperatively, and ask, what are the security measures? How are we keeping our kids safe? Are you aware that schools are being surveilled, and what steps are being taken to protect in that case? That was one of the discussions with the principal and the assistant principals on my report, and they laid out, for me anyway, a very clear protocol. You can do the same thing at the district level. You can always call your 911 and tell them what you suspect and stop worrying about being a crybaby or a hollering wolf. We need to start hollering wolf a little bit more appropriately, in the sense that when we see something, we need to say something. I know that sounds trite, but we really do. We need to tell law enforcement to go and investigate these matters and leave it up to them to determine if there is a threat or not. You also need to let your students know. If you see something suspicious, go ahead and report it to your school. If they feel that they can't, they need to report it to their parents. Then the parent needs to be the advocate for the child. We need to stop worrying about being politically correct. They're counting on us to be politically correct. They're counting on us to be afraid. They're counting on us to be cream puffs and not do anything to rock the boat. They're counting on that. And we are... really, if you take a look at what they intend, what Islam intends to do, it's very, very, very similar to where Nazi Germany was in 1939-1940, attacking the infrastructure, attacking the culture, attacking the emotionality of the country. That's exactly what's taking place here. Again, Claire's correct. It's a war. We are at war. And unfortunately, terribly unfortunate, we have people who are afraid of saying that, and therefore they're not saying anything, or they're being, quote-unquote, politically correct. And this is just adding strength to the bad guys and creating confusion for the good guys.
Yeah, I think a lot of people actually believe that, but it's funny. Nobody wants to be the first one to pipe up, but... I'll tell you what, if something bad happens because you didn't say anything, that's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what you do with that.
Our society, unfortunately, has turned into a reactionary bunch that you know, we sit back and wait for something to happen so that then we can scream and holler. And like your email says, we'll all wave the flag and cry how much injustice there is. But... We need to act a little quicker than that.
The other part I was kind of sad you didn't include, Lyle, was the part about how we run in and look for the rainbows and the puppies in our safe space while we eat cookies and listen to soft music with little pillows. I mean, some of the college stuff that's coming out now, you know, they can't even have any kind of debates on campus because it might trigger warning or whatever it is. Somebody, it's like, what the heck are they? Well, microaggression, there you go.
Yeah, is Claire still with us? Claire, are you there? Is Claire still with us?
Claire's gazing at Mount Rushmore, I think. Either that or Obama is on there and she's going for the sandblaster right now.
Well, we just spoke to...
she's not there, so we can make up whatever we want.
We can say anything we want about Claire.
We can totally make stuff up. She's not even here.
Well, we spoke to a lady last night who just sent her son off to college, and he called her and said that the first thing they did in the first class he went to was the teacher wanted them all to sign something or indicate how they identified themselves sexually so that she could get a handle on how to address them as a boy or a girl. And these are the kinds of things I think we're so hung up on now. And we're not paying attention to the important stuff, like how to not get blown up when you go to the mall. I mean,
right.
That's what we have to change.
You have to appreciate, Bill, that that is also part of a very sophisticated and orchestrated program to not only weaken the United States, but to introduce us to a different mindset purposefully. It's part of the Marxist mindset. A good friend of mine, Trevor Loudon, has talked about this in his new movie. If your listeners will go get it, it's very, very economical. And I don't get a percentage, and I'm not supporting.
And we don't care if you do. We actually like shameless promotion. So we hope you're getting a percentage. You know, let's sell it.
I need to tell Trevor then to give me a buck or two every time.
tell Trevor that's why we're buying it.
Yeah, mention my name every time and I get a dollar.
Exactly.
But no, all kidding aside, Trevor Loudon's movie, brand new, just came out last week. Well, week before, Enemies Within. The Enemies Within. He has a book to that title also, but now he has a DVD. And I'm going to tell you, just like our other good colleague, Denise D'Souza, you're going to enjoy Trevor Loudon's Enemies Within and Denise D'Souza's Hillary's America. Now, I'm plugging both of those because they are in juxtaposition to one another. The research is impeccable on both of them. Both of these gentlemen, Denise D'Souza, Trevor Loudon, are impeccable when it comes to their research. People have disagreed with them, but they've never, ever, I've never heard one, even radical person, disagree with their research. Their research is impeccable. So I think you go get Trevor Loudon's Enemies Within, and you're going to see him describe a very sophisticated program that is Marxism that has infiltrated our country, our political structure, and our school system, all the way down to the grade school level. Our children are not being taught history. They're not being taught about the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. They're not being taught what freedom is, and they're not being taught to defend freedom. You might have to stand up in the face of a bully. They're not being taught all of that. Therefore, they're being led to believe that if you are a cream puff, that's my terms, if you are a cream puff, that you're going to get along and people are going to like you and everything's okay and let's sing kumbaya. So back to what you were saying, Bill, about the sexual orientations and all this rest of the stuff, it's to break down walls and it's to purposefully cause people to not stand up and say no. That has nothing to do with what you're in here to learn. I've taught at two universities, and I got to tell you, back in the day when I was doing this, there was no way something like that would be asked because it was not pertinent. It had no bearing syllabus, on
no,
the class.
Nobody would have even talked. I mean, seriously, you would have been laughed out.
I don't think they would have freaked
well,
out.
Well, look at Monty Python. I don't know if you're a Monty Python guy, but there's that whole skit in there about how he thinks they should have a new rule where men can have babies. He wants the right to have babies. And they're like, but men can have babies. But I should still have the right. And they go through this whole thing, and it's like, oh, man, that used to be funny, and now it's real.
It is real. I mean, look at what Hillary just said this week, I think. One of the first things she's going to do is get the federal government involved in a non-bullying program.
Oh, yeah, we listened to that on the way home last night.
That's the federal government's job, is to prevent bullying. You're right. That's where we're going.
As the oldest of five kids, that makes me want to go punch somebody, actually.
It does.
You two are fun to talk to. You're not politically correct. It's just great.
It makes me want to shove my youngest sister in the hamper and tell her I'm going to beat her up if she gets out before the babysitter calls my parents.
I put my brother in a truck tire rolling down a hill. Come on.
This show is deteriorating really quickly. See what happened when Claire gets off, the show goes down.
We had all this pressure because Claire, you know, is going on a trip and we're jamming up her road time. Well, now, heck, we're just talking to you on Skype, so we could.
Are exactly right. The bad guys here, and we're talking about Muslim Brotherhood and all of their different denominations, Hamas, et cetera, et cetera. They don't care about gun-free zones. They don't care about security camera zones. They don't care about unarmed security, armed security. They don't care about the unarmed security driving around in their little golf carts with a sign that says security. I mean, all of this is just – it's wackadoo stuff. And they are not even interested if the security has arms.
Right.
They're armed. They don't – I mean, so – to look at security driving around in a little golf cart with a big sign that says security, and they're in shorts and tennis shoes. And
you know, that is so funny. We just saw that last week. We were, I think, coming out of a grocery store or something, and there was a little golf cart with the police lights on top, and it said security on the side. And
you're killing me, man.
I looked at that, and I said, really? I just
at the grocery store, we have like 80-year-old ladies that are driving around in the parking lot.
And a security card. It's like, are you really going to?
And I mean, if they're 80-year-old ladies from New York, I mean, they could take you with a handbag, but I don't think 80-year-old ladies in California are going to do it.
No, I think Barney Fife would be more of a deterrent than just what we have out there.
Yeah, it just doesn't it doesn't scream, you know, hey, we're watching you guys. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, you're right, Aaron. It doesn't scream we're serious.
Right.
It does not. It in fact, it gives just the other opinion or profile, which is that we're all inclusive, that this is really a joke, and we're not taking it seriously.
Right.
In the report that I sent you that I think you posted and or referenced anyway, you'll notice that I put Pastor Carl Gallup's new book, Be Thou Prepared, on there as a suggestion. Again, I don't get a percentage. I think it's 10 bucks or something. I need to call Carl and say, hey, how about 50 cents?
You really need to get with the program.
You know something, guys? I think if we work this right, between all the people I'm plugging for all their stuff, I could retire here.
I'm telling you. See, we need to get them all online. See, and then they can plug your stuff. See, it's a big back scratching deal. Oh my gosh, we have to take a really quick break. Speaking of back scratching, I do have a little back scratcher right here. When we come back, though, we've got to talk a little bit about gun free zones because, you know, for our gun haters, we don't have a lot of gun haters up north here, but for those folks that are listening that are thinking, oh, if we just did that, we'd all be better off. So anyway, we'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Places, sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I've got proof. Oh, Lord, yeah.
This used to be considered humor.
Why are you always on about women, Stan? I want to be one. What? I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry.
What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Man, I feel like a woman.
We've taken a bad turn. We had to get that out of our system.
Oh, gosh. Okay, thanks for having me on. I'm leaving now. There's nothing else I can do to add to this show.
It's a charade.
I noticed when Claire leaves, the show goes downhill.
It was all really pent up because, see, we're usually kind of like this the whole time.
Oh, you were on your best behavior with her and with me.
We were repressing. We were repressing, and it burst forth. But, you know, honest to God, that clip out of Monty Python, that's like real now.
Yeah, it's serious.
Now I'm sure we're all haters for playing that, but... Good Lord. You're in your kind of postscript of your scary security brief, it said, the days of hiding in our safe spaces from scary things are over. Jihadists and other psychopaths that decide to waltz into your church, synagogue, and your child's school need to be met with immediate, intense, and violent resistance. Mass murderers must come to realize that entering a facility with the intent to kill masses of people will result in instantaneous death. And, I mean, it goes on, but that's what we really do have to pay attention to. That's what they should find. But now that we're disarming everybody, how's that going to be achieved?
Well, it won't. And they're counting on that, and that's part of their motivation to promote political correctness and all the rest of that cream puffs logic so they can waltz in. They're hoping to influence enough political individuals and law enforcement that people will just give up their Second Amendment rights. That makes it easy to take over a country. I mean, the United States, one of the reasons we've been able to maintain our level of freedoms is because of the Second Amendment. When you have a goodly number, I mean, we have about, I'm going to be off on this, I apologize, but 15 million, maybe 20 million former, current or recently former military, they're well trained. And then on top of that, you add other, you know, people who are firearmed enthusiasts and are trained. I mean, you've got an armed community, armed citizenry, and that gives anybody pause to launch some sort of annihilation, at least from the ground. But if you remove all of that, yeah, you're right. We're afraid of things that go bump in the night, and boys are being dumbed down as well as feminized. Our society is being feminized. It's not politically correct to call anybody a psychopath, even if they are. Mass murderers, we're to understand them and just, you know, put our arms around them. Well, it's just all crazy stuff. And what I was talking about in that paper and that report was that's exactly what they're counting on. That's what they're doing when they're conducting the surveillance. They're taking a look at your church, your synagogue, your shopping center, your school, all these soft targets. And again, soft targets is a tactical term, meaning they're not hardened, they're not encased with armaments and layers of defense measures. So soft targets where they can come in pretty well unannounced and unobstructed and commit their mayhem. They don't care about if they die, because to them, for them to die, they, you know, they've committed a successful jihad and they're going to be rewarded. So death to them is not a deterrence. But if they do know that as soon as they step onto a soft target and begin to demonstrate furtive gestures or any other movement that is hostile, that they're taken out, therefore, they're not able to accomplish their goal, that's a whole different ballgame for them. And right now, they're not seeing that very much in the United States.
Well, we're looking at, like here in California, we have Proposition 57, which is parole for nonviolent criminals and juvenile court trial requirements is the name of the thing. But basically, it's looking that felons convicted of what they're considering nonviolent crimes, and I wish I could pull the list up of things that count as nonviolent.
One of them was kidnapping.
It's just
nonviolent.
I mean, it's completely mental. I will find it before we get out of here. Jerry Brown's thing here says, you know, Prop 57 focuses law enforcement on serious violent crime, like there are other violent crimes that are not serious. Stops wasting costly prison space on nonviolent people who can be rehabilitated because that's been super successful, and direct savings to programs with a proven track record of stopping the cycle of crime. Because definitely letting them out is, I mean, we've seen in our community here with this prison, what is it, overcrowding, it was AB 109 was the bill, but they let a bunch of criminals out, and it's created a huge problem. So while they're busy doing all of that, gee, that doesn't open the door for the, you know, I mean, it just, that's like green light, you know. Run.
Well, again, they're trained to take advantage of that.
It's perfect.
Can get into an entire philosophical discussion that your budget is bankrupt over there in California, that the prisons are overcrowded, so therefore to ease some of the crowding problems, but also to ease the budget, you release 5,000, 10,000, whatever. And granted, it would release some of the monies that go into holding these people. I understand that, but look at what you're doing. You're releasing people that are a threat to the community, just in a conventional sense of the word, just conventional crimes. What we're talking about, what I was discussing in that report, was not conventional crime. I'm talking about jihad. I'm talking about a war. That's what Claire discussed at the top of the show, was we are at war. It's an undeclared war still.
It is. And you know, you were talking about soft targets, schools, shopping malls, churches. You know, I can remember they've already hit those targets. I remember a shopping mall got shot up here not too long ago.
Yeah.
A church, I think, over in Nevada got shot up, and back east a church got shot. I mean, this is already happening, and we're doing nothing about it.
Some of that, Bill, is first of all, yes. Let me put a period there. Yes, you are correct. Completely correct. Period. Okay. I want to add to it, if I may, that while they went after targets of opportunities because it was easy, that was also probe. They're probing to see what kind of response.
Oh, great point. Yeah.
So while your point is correct, period. Put a pause there because it is correct. You're right. They made an attack. They were successful. It worked. They accomplished whatever it was they're after. But I'm going to go a step further, again, based on writings and other interceptions of intel. What they're doing is they're probing all these soft targets, various corporations even. the famous workplace violence. That was not workplace violence.
No.
That was a target of opportunity. And they were looking also to see what kind of response there will be, not just on campus or on scene, but what kind of response there will be from the police. When you realize that in most communities, the response time for an emergency call is 5 minutes. Now, again, there's going to be exceptions. I got it. I used to be a police officer. So it's like, you know, the average time is 5 minutes. So from the time you make that phone call, dispatch, radio notifies the unit responds, gets on scene. More often than not, at best, you got 3 minutes, unless, of course, the unit's right outside your door, and that looks good. You know, the response time was 10 seconds. I mean, he was right there.
Yeah, he lucked out.
But realistically, you're looking at a 5-minute response time. Well, that is fairly fast in big communities, but do this one day when we get off the air. Somebody hold a stopwatch. And then stand in front of the person and go bang. And then start the clock, start your stopwatch, and wait for 5 minutes before the first units or the first responders show up. What can be done in that 5-minute period? A whole heck of a lot. Not only have you gone ahead and demonstrated your intent by shooting one person, but you're already inside the business, the mall, wherever. And now you've got a 5-minute window that, unless something supernatural occurs where there's somebody on scene already, either a civilian or a off-duty law enforcement, somebody who is armed and who knows how to use that. It's one thing to be armed, but it's another thing to know how to respond. If you don't have that and you have this little clock going, just count 5 minutes. And look at how long that really, really, really is. It's just a very long time. We don't think like that because we look at movies and crimes are solved in about, I think, 25 or 40 minutes for
an
hour show.
Yeah, take out the commercials, right?
Yeah, you take out the commercials. I think we have about 35. You guys are in the profession. You would know better than I. But about 35 to 40 minutes, and we resolve an entire mass murder. in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're used to having all this happen so quickly. We've been dulled down.
Well, see,
but in reality,
here,
5 minutes is a very long time.
See, and up here it's much, much longer because I was just looking up square miles. Okay, Siskiyou County, where John Lopez located, 6,300 square miles. And on any given night, they have a handful of deputies on.
I remember Sheriff Lopey when he testified.
I'm sure he gave you the real stats. I'm just
I wouldn't discuss real stats, but if I had them. But what I'm saying to you is, I do recall as part of the economic fallout from what was taking place in Siskiyou County by the federal government coming in and closing off areas and draining the big lake and doing all this other stuff. It was to create economic chaos. Well, part of the chaos, if you'll allow me this, is you're going to lose services. Sheriff's departments, police departments, fire departments, they're going to have to lay people off. They're not going to be able to maintain a certain level of service. So that just adds to the problem. If you have a large county and you're fully manned, you're still going to look at a response time that could be significant. If you have that same county, same large area, but half the personnel or a third.
Sure.
Come on, just do the math.
Well, the other thing that's happening in our in these faraway places, you know, we're not big urban centers up here. Our jails are all full of felons because the prisons have released them. So if you steal a car or you do something like that, you can't be held in jail because there's no room for you. So if, in fact, the voters again vote to dump people out of the prison system in this particular state, I was just looking here at some of the stats. They're estimating, you know, 25,000 people. Off they go. It's like, well, that's terrific. Jail's full. And I guess I bring this up because that is all incredibly time-consuming for law enforcement.
Yes.
So now we're not, you know, we don't have a lot of spare time to go pay attention to all these other things. I mean, I realize they wind up having to do it all, but it just weakens everything. It's just a silly decision to make to put our resources under that type of strain. We have to take one more really fast break, and then we'll be right back. And you can say whatever you want till the top of the hour. Do you sing?
We'll be back.
It'll be all Lyle when we return. Since we successfully silenced Claire.
Wild Lyle.
We'll be right back. Sentinel Intelligence Services.
Whoa.
Lyle Rapacki, were you looking for a theme song? Because I think that's a really good one.
I think you both need help.
I already got help. Imagine before.
Did we forget to tell you that this was the program for that?
Oh, you guys have been awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, see, now that we've screwed her out, see, all we had to do was talk about Monty Python and everything just went downhill. But
it did.
We will totally have to do this again because obviously there's way more to discuss.
Well, let me leave you with one thing. I just got a text or an email. You know, I'm not computer literate big time, but As your producer engineer knows, I screwed up the Skype thing. But
we weren't going to say anything.
Okay, I gave you the wrong name, so you know. We're
I know you. Well, I wasn't going to say anything there either. You have to give me the right number to call in.
Yeah, but anyway,
yeah. This week, they're going to release. WikiLeaks is going to release the rest of the emails on Hillary Clinton. So look for that big dump. It will be a huge dump that will come out just this week, and this is in conjunction with what Huma Abedin has purportedly done by putting additional documents on the former husband Wiener's list, smartphone. So there are hidden documents.
I don't know if we should call it
that,
a smartphone when it's in the hands of Anthony Wiener.
Well, that's true, too. That's an oxymoron. But she put documents and other sensitive communications on that smartphone. They're having trouble accessing it because the Department of Justice will not give a search warrant to the FBI to go ahead.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Think about that. But WikiLeaks is going to go ahead and release a whole huge batch that they've been holding back on. So look for that this week and see if that happens. And if it does, that will even be more pertinent to what's taking place in our conversation. So that's just a headline there. And then if I may, and I know I'm taking the show and I don't mean to, I apologize.
No,
I
hope you do.
That's why you're on.
I want to thank you guys. We don't know each other. We've never met. You're not paying me a per diem either for anything.
Not yet.
Here.
We're working on it.
I know. My memo to you will come out.
Yeah,
later.
There you go.
But we've not met. You haven't asked me to do this. I just want to say all that for audience. But I want to thank you for having the foresight and the stamina to do this type of a show. So thank you very, very much. This is critical information. And you guys are making a platform that's very important. So thank you.
Well, we do. We appreciate you coming on, Lyle, and sharing with us. And we'd like to have you back maybe after the election. And
actually, yeah, that and, you know, on the emails and all these things you're finding out, we'd love to do some shows with you.
So what if it turns out Wiener sent the classified email from Hillary to the 15-year-old?
Yeah.
Let's start a rumor.
You're first.
You guys are too much.
There's so much to do.
I need to come up to see John Lobe, so somebody invite me up there to speak. I'll bring Claire. I'll bring somebody, and we'll come up and spend a couple of days, and we'll speak, and we'll teach, and see you all and hang out and have bagels and coffee. Oh, you guys do that up there in Siskiyou and Reading.
Oh, yeah. We do whatever we want. We have no supervision here, obviously, so can't you tell?
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks.
Thanks
a million, and we will definitely do this again. I'll pass on your information to the other guys and have them invite you. We can't wait.
You're awesome. Thank you very, very much, all of you guys. Thanks for your hospitality.
Thanks, Lyle. You've been listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and you can send the archive of this show to your friends, and they'll learn a lot. See you next week. You're too young.